Hi, I'm Lokeshwari. Dr. C. Rangarajan needs no introduction. He is a leading economist who has held several important positions, including the Governor of Reserve Bank of India, Governor of Andhra Pradesh, Chairman Economic Advisory Council to the Prime Minister, and Chairman of the 12th Finance Commission. He has been behind many of the significant economic reforms in the last four decades in the country. Here, Dr. Rangarajan shares his views on why GST came into existence, why it needs to be simplified, and the path ahead.
The idea was to have a system of taxation which is the same for goods and services. And the idea was to have a system in which the center and the states will participate in the same taxation and share the profits. The first idea was that we had originally only taxation on goods. Taxation on services was vague. It was not clearly indicated as to who has the responsibility with respect to services of taxes, because nothing was mentioned about taxation on services. Okay. Taxation on services came much later in the history of taxation in our country, even after independence. Therefore, the government of India got the power of taxation over services, because anything that is not mentioned is the power of the
center.
So, what we had essentially was a system of indirect taxation in which the center was taxing on goods up to the point of manufacture and leaving the factory. That is how excise duties came. And the states had the power to levy taxes on goods after they leave the factory and when they are sold to the consumers. So that is why sales tax became an important form of indirect taxation. Therefore, one idea was to merge these two and to have a single taxation which will cover from the point of the manufacture of the goods to the point at which they are sold. And it was also decided that the tax on taxation, tax on tax becoming a feature of that particular system of one government levying up to the manufacturer, the other then levying because this is what is called the cascading effect. So the cascading effect should go, and therefore the idea is that ultimately it must be a taxation on value added, and therefore any tax paid in the intermediate stage would be returned at the second stage. And finally, what you will have is only the taxation on value added. This was the most important principle, which was critical to the introduction of the taxation on goods. Okay. Then, of course, it was decided also that taxation on services came on to the center by omission, rather than a specific provision in the constitution. And therefore, the combination would be the ideal thing. And that is the type of taxation that was envisaged, that you will have a tax system, an indirect tax system of levying both on goods and services. And it will be shared between the center and the states. And therefore, both center and the states will have the power to levy taxation on both goods and services. And it is not as if that taxation ended at one point for the center and taxation started for the other authority, which is the state after. So that is what it was done. And ultimately, it was also treated as a taxation on consumption, because if everything is set off, then finally, what you are really doing is that what the consumer ultimately pays, and therefore it was regarded as a consumption tax, and And that was regarded as a welcome measure. The question really was that as the measure was introduced, we ran into problems. The most important problem that was that came was the fact that we had multiple taxation. I mean, in the sense that we had multiple slabs of taxation. That is, different commodities or different items are attracting different levels of taxation. This has never been the idea with GST, and this is not so in relation to any other country in the world. At best, people talked about three slabs of taxation. One normal, one higher, which will be in terms of the so-called luxury goods, and one lower in terms of commonly used goods. So that is, but that principle did not take off, and we had actually multiple slabs of taxation, which really made the GST more complex than the, or at least as complex as the earlier system. The simplicity of the GST, which was claimed to be one of the merits of that taxation, was completely lost, and we ended up with this. Now, why did we end up with this? Why? Because the states and the center could not agree on classifying all commodities only into three categories or services into only three categories. We always thought that something is consumed by the poor, and then something is consumed by the middle class, and so on and so forth. This essentially resulted in trying to give more and more concessional rates of taxation. And that resulted in basically a situation in which the tax system became not only complex, but also in the early stages did not give the kind of revenue that was expected from GST. The effective revenue neutral rate that was estimated did not come through because there are so many varieties of goods on which
it's
we
come
gave
down, actually.
Concessional rates of interest that the weighted average rate was below what was estimated by so many people, by so many committees, as a revenue neutral rate. And then people started complaining, like the states, that they are not getting adequate revenue. The reason for that is essentially because the states could not agree on only three slabs. And arguments went on in meeting after meeting of trying to find more and more slabs of taxes. So that is the one thing. And what complicated this was the so-called compensation principle. The compensation principle was that if the state did not collect adequate revenue, then through GST, then the center should compensate it. Now, this is, in my opinion, a wrong principle, and I had objected to it. But the government felt, even not only the new government, but also the earlier government, the UPA government, also felt that in order to carry states with us, we have to do that. But then the combination of this thing, that compensation principle will operate and multiple slabs will be introduced, essentially meant that the effective rate of taxation came down. Because the states, to the states it did not matter, because if the collection of GST went down, then the compensation principle will begin to operate. And therefore, it is a wrong principle. But that is what happened. I mean, I think that's the thing. And when people in states complain about not receiving adequate revenue, they have to see what is the total revenue, what they got from GST, regular, and what they got out of the compensation principle. Now, I don't remember exactly, but I feel the number is 14%.
I want to ask you, is that actually rational to say 14% growth on indirect taxes? Was the number correct?
None of the states had ever had.
No, I don't think they
had. That 14%. No. So that is why. So the compensation principle, in fact, overcompensated. Because normally, these taxes which were substituted by GST, these taxes never gave them a return of 14% over any long period of time. Therefore, you really ended up with a mess because of the combination of the compensation principle with the compensation level being dictated by a very high rate of growth of the indirect taxes.